Amen. Let's stand and read the word of God together. We're going to begin reading the first Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7. It begins, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jeremiah 29, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer." Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever played with Play-Doh? You know, I've never seen anyone take Play-Doh and sit it on the counter and say, "Be something." Vase, bowl, cup. It doesn't work like that. You know, you can speak and yell at Play-Doh all day long, but until you actually do something to the dough, it will just sit there, and eventually it would get hard and get useless because no attention was given to it. You know, too many of us are watching the news at night, watching the stories about the violence and the school problems and the economic issues in our city, and yelling at the TV as if that's supposed to do something. We're yelling at the TV, "Better schools, less violence, more jobs, better economy." And the problem is getting worse because transformation does not occur until action takes place. Last week, we began our three-part series on Acts 1 and 8, the much-known verse where Jesus gives out the rollout plan for reaching the world and making an impact. He promises they will receive power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this plan to spread the good news. They are to start in Jerusalem, which was the community they were in, and then they would go to Judea and Samaria, which was the region they were in, and then they were to run with the good news to the ends of the earth. Last week, we talked about our Jerusalem and the goal to be present and partners in our community. Y'all remember that? To listen and engage in the life of the community, to accomplish our SKC campus goal, which is to see the life of our church resemble the life of those living in a 2 to 5 mile radius or have a 15-minute or less drive to our church. Today, we push out a little further, beyond our community, to being witnesses in our Judea or Samaria. For us, that's the city. That's Kansas City. And the passage, I believe, that helps us to see our instructions of reaching our city is Jeremiah chapter 29. In Jeremiah 29, we have a letter written to God's chosen people who have been placed in exile. They are upset about their surroundings. They're uncomfortable and they're guarded and pointing at all the problems around them and wishing it was different. When God sends a letter to them that says, if you want it to be different, then you're going to have to do something about it. If you want it to change, then you're going to have to do something about it. If you want to see progress in the city that you're complaining about, you're going to have to do something about that. Many people know about Jeremiah 29:11 when it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." We all know that passage of scripture. We have it on our desk. We have it in our car. We have it in our notebooks. But many miss the action needed to actually experience this promise. God does have a plan to build and renew his people. God has a plan for transformation, but we have to see our part in that plan. We can't get to verse 11 without going through verse 4 through 7 first, which lay out our part in transforming the city and seeing God's plan unfold. God wants you to prosper. God wants to give us a bright future. God wants to transform our city. And the way he is going to accomplish that, dig in real close, is you. Now, there are three ways I believe this passage teaches us about transforming our city. Are you interested? I'm so glad. It didn't matter if you wasn't. So how can we be a part of city transformation? First of all, we transform our city when we realize we are here on purpose. We transform our city when we realize that we are here on purpose. Jeremiah 29, verse 4 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." In verse 4, God says, "I have placed you in exile." I can imagine they were blaming the Babylonians. That pagan country, how dare they come in and take us out of our land? Many blamed each other. You should have fought harder. You should have watched better. Some of us are blaming other people for where we are. And as long as you make where you are a physical problem, you can point to someone as the culprit. It's not until you realize that where you are has a spiritual component and see that your growth and your progress depend on you being here, will you be able to experience your full potential? Will you be able to become what God has called you to do? You have to see the spiritual nature of God placing you here and not just point to physical aspects of why you're here. God puts an end to all the blame games and he says, "I have placed you there. I sent you into exile." They are here on purpose. This is not an accident. This is not happenstance. This is a divine placement. In this particular case, they were placed here for their disobedience. You know, they were disobedient to God, and they continue to fall back into idol worship, and so God places them there. But whatever the case may be, they have to understand that this appointment is God-ordained, and they can complain about everything around them, or they can see that God placed them on purpose, and what should we do about this? You can complain about your job. You can complain about your relationship. You can complain about your financial situation. You can approach God and ask, "Lord, why am I here?" Or you can say, "Lord, I believe you have me here. How do you want me to handle this? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to invest?" South Kansas City campus, we are at 9500 Warnell Road, Kansas City, Missouri, 64114. That tells us we are in a city that is in a neighborhood at a particular corner. And all of that is on purpose. Say, on purpose. On purpose. All of that is on purpose. We are at 9500 Warnell Road. Across the street is Burns and McDonald, which has over 4,000 employees that work in those buildings right across the street every day, at least Monday through Friday. We are in 64114, where over 23,000 people live, and in the adjacent county of Johnson County, the zip code is 66206, there's another 10,000 people that live there. Our church is in Kansas City, where over 400,000 people live, and that's Kansas City proper. Some of you were born here and are quick to take your stake on whether you are a Jayhawk or a Tiger. Some of us are transplant and quickly let you know that we are Longhorns. And you need to get on board. Our jobs led us here. Our relationship led us here. Life circumstances led us here. Whatever the reason, we're here now, right? And the question we have to ask is why? Why would God uproot me from a great job, a new house, and my hometown family to move me to Kansas City? Why would God take you from wherever you were and bring you here? Why did God have you be born and raised here and then keep you here? Or why is God not opening doors for you to leave and won't give you peace to move? And why now? Why am I at Colonial? Why did he lead me here in this season? I am here. What am I supposed to be doing? I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you why. To be the light of Christ in a hurting culture, so that the lost are found, the broken are made whole, the fatherless find hope, and our city, Kansas City Metro, is blessed. Amen. Amen. It's not an accident that you are here in this season. It's not an accident that you are hearing this message today. God has a plan for this city. God has a plan for Colonial in this city. And guess what? You're in it. See, many of us are like me last Saturday. My wife, you know, she wakes up and she's excited about it being Saturday morning. And she gets up and she says, I got so much I want to get done today. You know, we're about to go out of town. I got to get some new shoes. I got to buy a gift for somebody. I got to get some stuff to work out in the garden. And I said, that's great. When will you be back? She said, no, you mean when will we be back? I said, yeah, I meant we. I started with we. You just didn't hear me right. That reminds me of the story, the Lone Ranger. If you're under 40, Google it. You know, the Lone Ranger and his, you know, trusty Indian sidekick, Tonto, they're standing on the top of a mountain on one side of the mountain, and on the other side of the mountain, there's this army of Indians. And the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto and says, what are we going to do? And Tonto looks at the Lone Ranger and says, what do you mean, we, white men? We are in this. We are here on purpose. The plan involves all of us. If we expect to see our city transformed, we must realize that we are here on purpose, and God's plan for this city includes you. So we transform our city when we realize that we are here on purpose. Secondly, we transform our city when we invest for the long haul. We transform our city when we invest for the long haul. Jeremiah 29, verses 5 and 6, it says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters into marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. You see, this is not a once-a-year concept. This is not a one-day sign-up sheet. This is calling the people to invest their life in making a difference. You know, we too often will sign up, but we lack commitment. And then we look at the situation a year later, and we wonder why it's still the same or maybe even worse. I like this verse is structured because it gives some ideas on how to invest, then it takes it a step further. Because you would think, you know, I built the house. Isn't there enough? I built the house there. But God says, no, I don't want you to just build a house there. I want you to actually live in the house you build. plant gardens. How easy is it to plant a garden? I can plant a garden. He says, don't just stop at planting it. I want you to eat the produce from it. That means you have to wait for it to grow. That means you have to wait to see the product of your investment and not be satisfied with just simply planting seeds. If you have an assignment, if God prompts you to join a ministry, if God leads you to invest your time in a person, in an area, in a child, don't just plant the seed. Water it. Nurture it. Watch it grow. And you can't plant a seed and come back 3 months later and wonder why the seed hasn't done what you expected it to do yet. You have to water it. You have to pick out the weeds. You have to care for it. You have to be intentional about finding those opportunities to watch it and help it grow. We have to be intentional about finding opportunities in our city to plant seeds. And then eat from the produce by supporting it for the long haul. For instance, the Kansas City Star has a list of 46 black-owned businesses to support in our city. You can click that QR code, and it'll take you right there. You can email me, and I'll send you the list later. Plant a seed and eat from its produce. The Shawnee Mission Post has a list of Hispanic-owned businesses to support in Johnson County. Plant a seed. Eat from its produce. Colonial has about 25 organizations that we partner with in this city. We're being the light of Christ. We are planting gardens and we're building houses. We are in it for the long haul and plan to see the fruits of our labor. We partner with the Hope Center, who invests in people, particularly the youth, living on the east side of Kansas City, helping lives be transformed by the gospel. We partner with Avenue of Life as they mobilize the community to equip and empower low-income families to be self-sustaining and independent. We have established a ministry, Freedom's Bridge, where we partner with KCPD to eliminate human trafficking in our city and see victims safely removed and ministered to with the hope of new life. We partner with the House of Hope, who provides residential treatment programs for hurting teenage girls and with the goal of family restoration. And these girls in these programs experience the transforming power of the love through Christian counseling and education based on God's word. We partner with Mission Southside as they serve people in need in South Johnson County by extending help and extending hope. As a matter of fact, on next Sunday, August the 13th, we're planning to go together, both campuses, one church, two locations, both campuses, and serve at Mission Southside. We'll meet there, hear about the ministry, and then spend time serving together. You can register right at this link here. You can also find out about it online. We partner with Healing House, Urban Scholastic Center, Unite KC, and others. Why? To be the light of Christ in a hurting culture so that the lost are found, the broken are made whole, the fatherless find hope, and our city is blessed. And our city is blessed when we stay engaged for the long haul, when we find ways to walk alongside these ministries and invest our time to love on people, to care for people, to share Christ as we journey with them. And you can find our local partners by going to our website, where you can learn more about what each of them do and see if God is leading you to plant a garden to eat from the produce. Or maybe God is leading you to build a house and live in it, to spend time, to engage for the long haul. But then get this, he says, take wives and husbands and give your children to wives and husbands. Don't just know the people. Entangle your life with the people. Don't just read about them in the paper. Develop relationships with them. If you want to see a difference made, it is going to take relationships that are made by people entangling themselves together so that they're not easily torn apart. God has allowed us to develop a partnership with Palestine Missionary Baptist Church of Jesus Christ. Got to say the whole name. Since we began that partnership, we have done watch night service together. Watch night service is a service where we celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation coming into effect, January 1st, 1863. We've invited them to come join us in our Good Friday service. We've had chief watch parties together. We've had three small groups. I think we've able to lead where the members of Palestine and people from Colonial sit together and we work through very tough conversations. As a matter of fact, we're going to have another small group coming up this fall that'll be right here at Colonial with Palestine. You can find that information on our group's page. We've renewed our partnership with Holmes Garden, a community just down the way from us. The new owner is Estelle Lewis. I want you to pray for Estelle Lewis. And she just hosted a lunch and a learn here about the work she is doing in the partnerships with Holmes Garden Community. She will have a center for school tutoring right on their land. She will have a class available for parents to learn how to educate themselves and finances and life skills and opportunities and programs to help kids have their school costs covered so they can truly be anything they want to be. And Estelle, she came to the church a couple of weeks ago and she said, Pastor Greg, I need this church. I need this church to partner with us. I can't do what I feel like I'm led to do without this church in this city. So that we can see good change in our community, she said. You know what I told her? I said, Colonial is all in. Was I right? I thought we were. Amen. Next time I expect a bigger clap that you're all in. There you go. Now I believe you. And in order to do city work, you have to sit around the table with people who don't look like you and have conversations in the love of Christ for the sake of Christ and watch those relationships grow from shallow and surface to significant and substantial. In order to do the work God is asking us to do in our church, in our neighborhood, in our city, is going to take entangled relationships. You know what the picture of entangled relationships is? In a few months, you're going to go to your garage and you're going to reach for that box that says Christmas lights. And in that box labeled Christmas lights, you're going to open it up. And last year, you specifically laid out all of those cores of lights in a very detailed, organized way so that next year when you went to that box, you could just pull that one cord out. But somehow, over the course of 12 months, those light strings have found a way to get entangled until you pulled one string and a whole ball of lights comes up. That's the picture of entangled. That they're so engaged, so wrapped around each other, so connected that you just can't take your ball and go home. You can't tell when one starts and one ends because they're so linked together. We need relationships made with entangled people so that when the tough part of city work comes, we are so close, we have to press through because we are entangled. An investment has been made, so we have to work it out. This is not an are we there yet opportunity. This is an I'm here for the journey opportunity. You can't be like my sons on road trips every few miles. Are we there yet? I know your kids don't do that. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we? No. When we get there, I will tell you. You see, what happens is their impatience causes them not to enjoy the trip. Because the whole time, they're driven by results now. When you're trying to invest in transforming a city, you can't ask, are we there yet? Because you sent a check last month. You can't ask, are we there yet? Because you planted a flower last year. You can't ask, are we there yet? Because you read to one child one time. When you are trying to invest in transforming a city, you have to be willing to give years of your time doing life with people, working constantly, not asking, are we there yet? But waiting on God to show you when you get there that you have served your purpose. You still tracking with me? Amen. So we learn, first of all, we transform our city when we realize we are here on purpose. Secondly, we transform our city when we determine to be involved for the long haul. Thirdly and finally, we transform our city when we realize our future is the city's future. Our future is the city's future. They're not separate. Verse 7, it says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. See, the message to the exiles was if you want to see prosperity, you're going to have to make the city prosperous. Our city wants to see authentic people who care. Authentic people who are concerned. Authentic people who are not just doing it for the photo shot, but who are really involved. Not people who put on a show to make it seem like we care. They want to see authentic people. George Barna, in his book, Grow Your Church from the Outside, quotes this from a former churchgoer who's thinking about going back to church. This is what he says. I probably wouldn't know good religious teaching from bad, or a great sermon from one that breaks every rule in the preaching manual. But I sure know nice people from jerks and real people from hypocrites. I would stay at a church with lousy teaching but generally friendly people. People who got to know me and cared about me and respected my needs and boundaries before I would stay at a place with perfect teaching and lousy people. That deserves an amen. If you expect to have a bright future, you're going to have to participate in your city having a bright future. If you expect this church, this neighborhood, this city to be a desirable place for people to come and fellowship and see lives change, you're going to have to participate. That means if you see someone struggling, you can't say, poor youth ministry. You have to say, that's my youth ministry that's struggling. Amen? Poor children's ministry. No, that's my children's ministry that's struggling. That's my church. That's my neighborhood. That's my city in crisis. You got to take ownership. What does that mean? That means when you look at TV and read about a school district that is failing, we can't simply say, poor school district. Because if it fails, we fail. We fail our children. We fail the college institutions that are waiting on them. We fail the job market who's waiting to hire them. We fail the police department that will be arresting them once they give up and decide they have no hope. That's on us. Then we'll look around one day and see that what we once watched on TV and pointed at and talked about is now right next door. And then we got to do something about it, but it's too late then. You can't separate yourself from the life of the whole city. What goes on in your neighborhood affects everyone in every neighborhood. What goes on in my neighborhood affects you. When there's a problem with crime in Kansas City, Missouri, there's a problem with crime in Lenexa. When there's an illiteracy problem in Lee Summit, there's a problem with illiteracy in Shawnee Mission. When the divorce rate is up in Overland Park, there's a problem with divorce in Kansas City. We're all connected. You see, later on in verse 11, God tells them, I have a future for you. But in order to experience the joy of that future, they have to seek the prosperous future of the city around them. They have to cheer for the home team. No matter why they're there or where they came from, they had to root for the success of everybody in town. Are there any Kansas City Royals fans in the house? Yeah, just ask. Are there any Chiefs fans in the house? There's a reason why they don't call them the Lenexa Royals. There's a reason why they're not called the Overland Park Chiefs. There's a reason why the soccer team is not called Sporting Lee Summit. There's a reason why the women's soccer team is not called Wyandotte Current. That's because they represent the whole metro's Kansas City area, and they want everybody in town, regardless of where you live or where you come from, to root for the success of the team like it's your success. But there's a greater team to be on. The owner's name is God. And he has unlimited resources, so you never have to worry about being traded or asked to leave the team. You have a coach named Jesus who loved his team so much that he died for his team. You have a coach named Jesus who loves his team so much that he was buried for his team. You have a coach named Jesus who loved his team so much that he got up with all power in his hands to lead his team. And we have a teammate with us at all times called the Holy Spirit who gives us our plays, orders our direction, and keeps us in contact with the coach and the owner at all times. And because we are on that team, we can root for the success of God moving in all over this city. Because we're part of that team, we can dream for the bright future of everyone in our city. Because we're on the same team, no matter where you are in this city, we can make a difference in this city because we are here to be the light of Christ in a hurting culture, so that the lost are found, the broken are made whole, the fatherless find hope, and what? Our city is blessed. Is that a good reason to be here? I think it's a good reason to be here. And everyone on Team Jesus said, amen. 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 Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today. We pray, Father, that it will encourage us to seek the welfare of this city, to see this city as our responsibility, to see it as our purpose to be the light of Christ in this hurting culture, so that the lost are found, the broken are made whole, the fatherless find hope, and our city is blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast. If you want to listen to more sermons like this one, watch the sermon videos, or download the manuscripts, head over to colonialkc.org/watch. We are one church with two locations. Join us for Sunday morning worship at our South Kansas City campus at 10:30 a.m. or at our Overland Park campus at 8, 9, or 10:30 a.m. All other information can be found at colonialkc.org. We hope to see you soon.